The Lord be with you.
And
are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you busy doing action all the time, helping people, or do you sit contemplative and listen to Jesus' word? And you know, there is one that's the better part. That's often how sermons go about this text. But today, I want to talk to us about the truth that whenever we try to hold all things together ourselves, we ourselves fall apart. Jesus holds all things together so that we don't lose the good part. And to explain what I mean by that, I want to talk about some things that happened in the wake of the campfire. You see, after the campfire, people all around Butte County were finding ways that they might help people. There were food ministries and sheltering ministries. Many people, of course, went and helped rebuild Paradise itself. But I'm friends with a group of pastors. And we pastors, we think to ourselves, well, we're more the Mary type, right? We're not out there doing the hard labor. We're doing the listening to Jesus' words. And so we thought, well, what can we do in this moment? And we came up with a plan to provide spiritual and emotional care to people in need. And so as we got together, we said, well, what we should do is find therapists to go out into the community and offer free therapy. And to do that, we'll probably need someone to organize those therapists and oversee them. So we should develop an organization with a director, and that director is going to need a board of directors to oversee that. And so that's going to require 501c3 status. And so we better get all the paperwork together to do that. Now, did any of us know how to manage therapists? No. Did any of us know how to put together a 501c3? No. Did anyone think to ask, are there any other people in this community who know how to do these things? No. Did we spend a lot of time filling out paperwork? Yes. Did many people come to know God's love and peace through our work? Maybe a few. It's interesting. Today in our translation, we heard it say that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. But I want to show you a slide here, because on the slide we'll see that the word in Greek for tasks is actually diakonion. And diakonia, it can mean service, yes, but it can also mean ministry. And in fact, if we go forward to the next slide, you'll see that in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples are picking a replacement for Judas to be one of the 12, they say that this new person needs to take Judas's place in this ministry, this diakonia and apostleship from which Judas had turned aside. Let's be clear. Martha is distracted by her many ministries. Friends, it is entirely possible to be distracted from Jesus by trying to serve God. And to understand that, I want to look at the passage from Colossians 1 that we heard today. Because in it, Paul says that the people in Colossae, not quite that far yet. We'll hold off. We'll get there on that slide. Paul says to the people in Colossae that they were estranged from God and hostile towards God in mind, doing evil deeds. And I think sometimes when you hear that kind of description of people doing evil deeds, you're like, wow, this must be terrible. Maybe they're like eating children or something. What horrible evil deeds were these folks doing? But friends, sometimes evil deeds can be done with the absolute best of intentions. You see, sin, in Greek, it's hamartia, and hamartia is an archery term. Yeah? It means when you're shooting at a target, to miss the mark. Well, what's the mark that we're aiming for? Jesus says that all the scriptures, all God's commandments, are summed up in love God and love your neighbor. In fact, last Sunday, we heard the passage of Luke immediately preceding the one of Mary and Martha, in which Jesus affirms that same message, that what God intends for us to do is to love God and love our neighbor. But what that means is, sin isn't a list of actions of do's and don'ts. Sin is a state of the heart. It's the state of the heart that is open to loving God and loving the people around us. And in fact, we can sin Whenever our heart curves inward or turns in upon itself, whenever it becomes closed to loving God or loving other people, bless you. And sometimes the ways we think that we are supposed to love God end up closing our hearts to other folks. Once again, the parable of the Good Samaritan immediately precedes the story of Mary and Martha. And that is a parable about two men who are bound to serve God, a priest and a Levite. And they're so committed to serving God that they see a person lying half dead on the side of the road and they don't do anything to help that person. They don't love their neighbor, perhaps because they think it's more important to love God, right? I got to get back to Jerusalem. I got to get back to the temple. I got to lead worship services. And so they don't love the person right in front of them. And sometimes you think, well, maybe that's evil with intention, right? I don't care about that person. Or maybe it's because you think, well, I have something more important I have to do. People are relying on me. Or maybe even it's because you think God has commanded that I do this thing, which is better than this other thing. And friends, if you believe that God is a taskmaster who's given you a list of things you have to do, otherwise he will fire you in the most literal sense, well, sure, you're going to ignore everything else and do what you thought God has told you you have to do. But friends, that curving inward of the heart, that is what sin is. And it is entirely possible to believe in this kind of God and to get so caught up in saying, God makes me do this, 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 to the point where you end up resenting Jesus and despising your neighbors, which is exactly what happens to Martha in the gospel story today. Martha does what she should, of course, absolutely do, which is to welcome Jesus into her home. But she welcomes Jesus into her home not to deepen her relationship with God, but to complain about Jesus and her sister. She said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this ministry by myself? Tell her then to help me. Friends, if the way that you are serving God causes you to despise Jesus and complain about your siblings in Christ, you're not actually serving God. You're serving the idol of your self-importance. And that's what my colleagues and I discovered in the months after the campfire. You see, it was really hard to convince other people to support this idea we had for a new 501c3 that would create emotional and spiritual support where there had never been any before. Our denominations were very dubious that this was the best way that they could help the survivors of the campfire. Pastors had many other problems that they were working on at the time, and all the therapists who actually knew anything about the work we were doing were busy actually providing therapy to people in need in that moment. And so we looked around and we said, okay, well, we have a mutual friend who could use a job, so we'll hire that guy to run this and make it happen somehow. But when we realized that what he was doing was just more paperwork, we started to bicker amongst each other and then to turn on him. This 501c3, it lasted just a few months, and our friendship with the guy we put in charge of it lasted even less long. It's a really sad thing that we have lost a friend out of our attempt to serve other people. Because while we thought, yes, there is a need to care for folks in this way, we thought it is a need that we have to bring together all by ourselves. And friends, when we try to hold everything together by ourselves, we ourselves fall apart. That's why Paul writes to the Colossians in verse 17, and here we can bring up that slide. He writes that Jesus himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Friends, if we try to hold everything together, we fall apart. But Jesus holds everything together because he's the only one who can. In Colossians, Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, that in him and for him all things were created, that in Jesus the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in order to reconcile all things to God. Of all the things that Jesus holds together, the thing that Jesus most wants to hold together is your relationship with God. To people who see God as this harsh task giver, who resent God, who become estranged from him and hostile in mind to God, and who curve inward on themselves because their relationship to God is just about protecting themselves, not about loving others. Jesus is willing to go to the cross to say, do you think God has put you on this earth to fulfill a checklist? No, if there is something that God needs you to do to draw close to God, Jesus has done it for you on the cross. Because all what God wants is for you to draw close to God. Last Sunday, I talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I said that Jesus is the Good Samaritan, that he is the one who rescues us from the robbers of this world, who brings us healing. But today I want to say that Jesus on the cross is also the man who is robbed. Because on the cross, Jesus is also beaten, stripped naked, and left to die. Jesus is the man lying beside the road for the sake of that priest and that Levite who think God has told them they have to do all these things, when the truth is, in that moment, God has drawn close to them on the side of the road. And all God wants is for them to come and draw close to God, to do only what they can in that moment for Jesus in front of them. You see, friends, Jesus holds all things together so that we can hold on to the good that God has given us to do in this moment. I want to look at the passage where, in response to Martha, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many ministries, once again, but there is need for few things, in fact, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Friends, in Greek, there are many words for better. It's got a lot of words for better. Amion, beltion, kretion. You know what word is used in Greek that we translate as better? Agathen. Sorry, next slide. Agathen. It's where we get the name Agatha. When someone names their daughter Agatha, they're not naming their daughter better, right? That would be a crazy name to name your daughter. My daughter is literally better than everyone else, yes? That's not what people are naming their daughter Agatha. Agatha literally means good. Friends, there is a big difference between good and better. It is the difference between saying to two sisters, hey, you know what? Your sister did a good job, versus, you know what? Your sister did a better job. Yeah, that is a world of difference. This is not a story of two sisters, one of whom is better than the other. This is a story of Jesus saying, hold on to the good that God has given you and don't get distracted by all the other things out there. Because you see, if Jesus is in everything, that means there is good to be found in anything. Whether it's a ministry that is contemplative of reading scripture or prayer, or if it's an active ministry of cooking and cleaning, of tending to the medical needs of someone who is hurting. Jesus holds all things together so that we can hold on to the good that God has given us. We see that in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan walks along and doesn't think, you know what, I got all these other things I have to worry about. He says, I can do good in this moment by caring for this stranger along the side of the road. Paul will continue in Colossians to say that he rejoices in his sufferings. He rejoices in his sufferings because he is excited to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who don't know it yet, and it's going to cause him to suffer, right? It's going to cause them to suffer shipwrecks and imprisonments and insults and exclusion, but he is glad to do it. Because unlike Martha, who is resentful of her ministry, Paul knows he doesn't have to solve every problem in this world. He has been given one, and it is good not just for him to do, but it is good for his heart to do it. It brings him joy. Jesus holding all things together, it makes our life simpler. It doesn't make our life easier. It is still hard to do the good that God has given us to do. But it is simpler because we don't have to worry about things that we are not called to do. At the same time, my colleagues and I were trying to create a whole new organization to provide spiritual and emotional care. There was a furniture company called Living Spaces, and it thought, what could we do in this moment? And it knew there was a lot of things it, as a furniture company, could not do. But it knew the one thing it could do was give people mattresses, right? If your house is burned down, you need some place to sleep. And it said, we can give you a mattress. But it's also said, we don't know how to get mattresses to people who need them. So they reached out to Faith Lutheran, and we said, well, we've got a parking lot where you could bring in a semi. We've got people who could help unload those mattresses. And so we started doing that. And then the mattress company said, you know, folks are calling us all the time trying to schedule or order a mattress. We're happy to give it to them for free, but we don't know how to talk to all these people, and they've got all sorts of concerns when they call us. Do you have someone who'd be willing to talk to them? There's a woman in this congregation who's not here today. She would be embarrassed if I spoke well of her, Sherry Sandberg. She said, I will gladly answer the phone call whenever someone calls wanting a mattress. And here's the thing, when people would call Sherry, they'd ask for a mattress, sure. But they'd also share all the trauma they've been going through. They'd share their pain. They'd share their desire for prayer. And Sherry, in that moment, would say, you know what I can do for you? I can listen. I can pray with you. You know what I can't do for you? Rebuild your house. But Sherry trusted that Jesus would do that. That through the body of Christ, Jesus would find a way to help that person. And so she held on to the good that God had given her in that moment. And in that way, Jesus ended up providing spiritual and emotional care for the people of Butte County far beyond what our group of pastors ever imagined. Jesus did it through a mattress company, through people willing to hand out mattresses in the rain to whoever showed up and to give them a good word. And Jesus did it through a woman who would pick up a phone and listen and pray with whoever called. Friends, there are so many things that need to be attended to in this world. If we try to hold them all together ourselves, we ourselves will fall apart. So Jesus holds all things together that we might not lose the good part, the love of Jesus, and the opportunity to do good that God has given us in this moment. May we hold on to that and not lose sight. Amen.